God has called us to advance. How many of you heard that? If you've been around the last few months, you've known. God has called us to advance. It's a word the Lord gave us at the beginning of this year. Advance. It's a season of advance. It's a mindset. It's God's heart to move us into His future that He has for His church, and specifically for this church family right here at Evident Life Church. He's calling us to advance by going out and growing His family. God wants a big family, and He wants us, His family members, to go out and grow His family by bringing in the lost and the lonely. He also wants us to advance by going deep. Deep stands for discipleship, evangelism, encountering the presence of God in prayer. It's a calling that God has on this fellowship. And as we come into agreement with the words that God gives us, we're going to see the fruit of it, the good fruit, as we say yes to those things, as we dive in and go deep. And we say yes to what God is telling us, He will never disappoint. And we will see the fruit of that obedience and that coming into alignment and agreement with God's Word. So He's calling us to advance, and we've been turning to God's Word for the instructions on how to do that. Advancing, stepping out into new things can be scary, but not when we have the Word of God, not when we're following His plans and His purposes. And so we're turning to God's Word for direction as we advance, for His strategy. And now this week, we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 4. Why don't you go ahead and turn right now to Joshua chapter 4. We're going to discover the importance of remembering the greatness and the goodness of God. In Joshua chapter 4, we are reminded that memorials are important in the lives of God's people. Memorials matter. In fact, that's the title of our message today. Memorials matter. We see memorials throughout our culture. I want to put up some pictures here of our family. It was a year or two ago. I don't know. Time flies when you're raising kids and having fun. But we went, we had our big homeschool field trip of the century. And we went to Washington, D.C., to the East Coast and to D.C. And we went and we saw these memorials. Just stay on this one just for a moment. Head back to that other one. This is an inscription on the Jefferson Memorial. And I want to read it because it's awesome. God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever. That's on the Jefferson Memorial. That's memorialized right there in Washington, D.C. So there are memorials all around Washington, D.C. There's the Jefferson, the Washington, the Lincoln memorials. In the United States, we have a day called Memorial Day, where we remember those who lost their lives in war in order to give us freedom. And my sons are standing in front of the World War II Memorial. Ben is standing in front of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial right there. There are other types of memorials. In cemeteries, there are headstones that memorialize a life and a body that's buried there. We drive down highways throughout the state of Arizona, and you see little crosses, often little white crosses on the side of the road, memorializing, remembering a life that was lost in that place, in a car accident. It's interesting. I find that typically nowadays, we erect or come up with memorials that acknowledge usually sad events. Memorials tend to make us cry. They tend to bring back memories that evoke emotions, perhaps even regrets. Almost always our sorrow. But God is calling His church, His people. That's us. We are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we're part of His family. We're His children. We're His family now in Christ. And He's calling His family to build memorials that acknowledge His goodness and His greatness. Because memorials are powerful. Now, where are we in this study? We're in Joshua chapter 4. The Israelites have crossed over out of the desert into the promised land. They've crossed over the Jordan River. Now, this happened after 40 years of wandering outside of God's will. They were in the desert, wandering in the wilderness. A whole generation died in the wilderness. They were wandering because of fear, because of doubt, because of disobedience. But in God's goodness, He didn't leave His family. He brought them across the Jordan River on dry ground into the promised land. And so that's where we are in our study right now in the book of Joshua. The people of God have crossed over out of the desert into their future. They've advanced into their destiny, and now they're standing on the soil, on the ground of the promised land. So what's the first thing that God tells them to do? He instructs them to build a memorial. Turn with me, Joshua 4, beginning in verse 1. Joshua 4, verse 1. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Again, what just had happened is God brought the people across dry ground into the promised land. So what had just happened was a spiritual high watermark for the people of God. I mean, this was a big deal, what just happened in their lives. God showed up and did a miracle, wonders happening among the people of God, deliverance, blessing, and favor. The Lord had just made a way for them to cross this raging river. God had once again shown up and blessed His people. Now what? God called them to respond to this high watermark, to respond to what He just done for them by building a memorial. And we're going to look at four reasons why the people of God need to build and have memorials. I know this is strange for the church these days. We think, wait a minute, it's just me and Jesus, and it's just all about my relationship with Him and kind of my feelings and my thoughts that I have. What are we doing talking about memorials and having, you know, structures and things like that? Well, just hang with me here. Let's get back in the Word of God right here. Why do memorials matter? Four reasons. Joshua chapter 4, four reasons. First reason, why memorials matter? Because God wants us to remember. God wants His children to remember. I looked up the definition of the word memorial, and it is this: something, especially a structure, established to remind people of a person or event. That's a memorial. Something, especially a structure, established to remind people of a person or event. So God was calling His people to remember this event of the deliverance, of the crossing of the Jordan, of the coming out of the desert into the promised land, into the new place, into the destiny, advancing into God's purposes. Out of all that junk, out of waiting around. How many of you are tired of waiting around to see God's goodness, to see His favor, to see His power, to see His miracles? How many of us want to go into the promised land? Well, this has just happened for the people of God. And He wants His people to remember His faithfulness and to remember His goodness in this. You know, we discussed last week in chapter 3 that God goes before us, that God stays with us, and that God will never leave us. That is just exactly what had happened in the lives of the family of God. And God doesn't want them to forget that. He wants them to build a memorial so that they would remember that He goes before them, that He stays with them, and He'll never leave them. I want us to notice this as we read here in Joshua 4, that this is God's idea to build the memorial. It's not man's idea. It's God's idea. It says that the Lord said to Joshua, go do this. Build this memorial. And when God has an idea, the ideas are usually pretty big. How many of you know God's big? Okay, so when God has an idea, it's a big idea. And so when he's calling these men to go build a memorial out of stones that they're pulling out of this river, they're not pebbles. God isn't calling them to build a little memorial made out of little pebbles. Make this little dinky pile of rocks down here so that you remember what I just did. No. God's ideas are big, and his call for them to build a memorial is big. And so he's saying, get 12 guys, and you can imagine what each tribe is thinking. Well, we're going to pick our biggest, because we want the rock that they pull out to be the biggest one in this memorial, because God is big and he's good and he deserves the biggest. And so you could imagine each tribe trying to find their biggest, strongest man to pull these rocks out of the Jordan River to build this memorial. The selection process, you know, among the tribes, and they're picking their big guys, and then the big guys have to go into the Jordan River, and they got to pry these rocks, these boulders, pull them out of the riverbed, getting their hands muddy and dirty, getting down on their knees, pulling that boulder up, getting it on their shoulder, and carrying it across that river that's still dry, and laying it down and beginning to then assemble this memorial. There's a drawing of what it might have looked like. I think the boulders were bigger than that. I could carry a boulder that big, I think. I mean, I think these guys probably a lot bigger than that. It was God's idea for them to build a monument, a memorial. Why? Because he knows the heart of his people. He understands his people. He knows us very well. He knows that we can often be self-centered and that we can often be very forgetful. I mean, think about this. It was just 40 years earlier that he delivered his people out of Egypt, out of slavery. Delivered them across the Red Sea on dry ground. Provided all of their needs. Taken them into the Promised Land. And within a few weeks, they forgot. And they started turning from God and fearing and doubting and disobeying and all this. So God's very aware that his people can be very forgetful. And he had just, after 40 years now, finally took them across the Jordan into the Promised Land, and he did not want them to forget again. That's God's goodness. You know, God calls us to do things sometimes that seem like, why do I have to do that? I love God, and why would he make me obey him? Why would he make me give up something? Why would he ever make me do something? It's not about doing, it's about being anyway, right? And so all that doing is just a bunch of phooey. Not if God's calling us to do it. If God's calling us to do it, there's a very good reason for us to do it. And to not come up with theological reasons why we don't need to do it now. Because the church has become very good at that. Very good at coming up with theological reasons why we can just sit around on our rear ends and think happy thoughts about God and not obey him. There's a lot of obedience that's not doing things. Letting things fall off because it's old fleshly stuff that has nothing to do with God and is very offensive to him. But there's a lot of obedience of actually moving forward and doing things and engaging in the calling that God has on his church. The Great Commission is a doing. It's a call for us to not sit around and just become ingrown all about ourselves, but to go and to be the people of God and to be his hands and feet. And to bring him to the world, because the world's dying. So God calls his people to build a memorial. Why? Because his people can be forgetful. And he does not want them to forget his goodness and his faithfulness that he had just shown his family as he allowed them to walk across on dry ground. Across that Jordan River into the amazing blessing and favor of their future in the Promised Land. God wants his people to remember. The second reason why memorials matter. Number two, memorials help us pass on our faith in God. Let's keep going here. Verse 6. Memorials help us pass on our faith in God. That this, the memorial, it continues, may be a sign among you. When your children ask, in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. I mean, think about this. You can imagine these Israelites, these people of God later in life. They're walking along the Jordan River. There's a man walking with his, let's get this picture up there. There's a man walking with his son, and maybe he even has all of his children and his grandchildren in tow. And they're walking along the Jordan River, and they come to the memorial. They come to the memorial, and he says, kids, I got to tell you about God's goodness, his faithfulness, and his greatness. You know what these stones represent? This is what God did for us, his people, his children. That river, that raging river that I keep telling you not to get too close to because it'll come and carry you away. That river, God stopped the water up there at Adam. He stopped it all the way up there, and all of us walked across on dry ground. These rocks, this memorial. Let's remember, guys, this is what God did. Check it out, verse 21. Jump down to verse 21. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. God's plan for believing parents is that we would teach, that we would tell, that we would show our children his goodness, his faithfulness, and just flat out his awesomeness. That's God's plan for us as parents, as that older generation. It's his design that we would tell the younger generation of the goodness, the faithfulness, the greatness of God. It's not left to somebody else. That's our role as parents, as adults. That's our role. It's our job to disciple the next generation. That's why the Bible in this passage deliberately introduces and connects children and memorials together. Memorials are a means of passing on the faith to the next generation. In fact, if you want to write this down and then go check it out later, Deuteronomy 6. And you're going to see that this is also the context where the people of God are commanded to remember the Lord and to remember his commandments and to transfer them on a daily basis to the next generation. Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's God's way. That's how he operates. He's generational. And he calls this generation to pass on faith and truth and love and example to the next generation. And so in that context, he's calling that generation that crossed over, that Joshua Caleb generation that led the way crossing over the Jordan. He called that generation to build a memorial so that you could fulfill this responsibility that you have of passing on the faith to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation so that the family of God would not forget again. I mean, think about it. I'm just flashing right now to Noah and to the ark and to the flood and to what? The rainbow. It's a memorial. The rainbow is a memorial that God has given us so that we would remember. Memorials matter. Think of the cross. Think of communion, the elements of communion, the bread and the cup. Those are memorials that help us to remember Jesus and what he's done for us, to never forget. And so we're called to partake in communion on a regular basis. As often as you do this, remember me. Remember. 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 It's a family thing, and memorials help us raise children of faith. So memorials matter. Help us remember. And They help us pass on our faith in God. And the third reason why memorials matter is that one day we will need to remember. One day it's going to be essential, because the day will likely come in our lives because we live in a broken, hurting, messed up world. How many of you know that? If you don't know it, wow! I got to come over to your house and hang out for a while. But we live in a broken world that's not right. And pain and difficult things happen, even to good people, even to the people of God. And life can get very hard. And there's a time when all we may have to hold on to is that memorial that will remind us, no, this is what's happening today. It looks bad, but I'm remembering the goodness, the faithfulness, the greatness of God. He is capable, as capable today as he was yesterday, to deliver me out of this. One day, we're going to need those memorials. Look at verse 9. This is really interesting. I mean, you'd think it's enough that God called these 12 guys from each tribe, you know, one guy from each tribe, 12 of them, to go build this memorial over in the promised land. You think, okay, that's enough. We just need one memorial. But check out verse 9. Very interesting. Joshua did something strange here. After the sons of Israel had set up the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan over on the dry ground in the promised land on the west side of the river, in verse 9, it says that Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the river. He himself grabbed 12 stones and made a memorial, a monument, in the middle of the river where they would be underwater most of the year. Why? What's going on there? Let me kind of throw in another story to help bring context and pull this all together. I read a story that near Geneva, Switzerland, there's a lake. And it said that in that lake, there's a large stone in the lake. And inscribed on that stone is an interesting message. It says, if you can read this, weep. If you can read this inscription on this stone, weep. Why? Because it indicates that the water's really low. If you can read that inscription, if you can see that stone, read that inscription, the water is low. The land is dry. There's a drought. The water supply is hurting. And when that happens in a society, in a community, it brings much pain. It makes life very hard when you don't have water. But you see, with Joshua, the memorial is different. You see, in the human memorial, it says to weep when the water is low. But it's completely opposite. The whole purpose of what Joshua was doing was completely opposite. You see, Joshua was saying, when the water gets low, you're going to get to see this memorial, and then you're going to gain encouragement and strength as you set your eyes upon this and remember that we walked across right there where those stones are right now. See those stones? Remember? Smile, because we were there. The Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God, was right there. We were there with God right there. The water is low, yes, but we will choose to remember the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the greatness of God, the deliverance that God brings to his people. God did something, and that rock pile in the middle of the Jordan was a reminder. And we know this. Someday, the water is going to be low. Some of you may be experiencing that right now, where the water is low, where it feels like it's a season of drought in your life right now. Someday in our lives, things are going to get tough. Where's our memorial? What have you established? What have you put in place to look upon? To remember, to say, okay, I remember. I remember what God did. I've come to trust him, and I'm going to trust him right now. It doesn't matter the level of the water. It doesn't matter the temperature of my life right now, because I know God. I know who he is. Your memorials could be a pile of rocks, but they're probably not. They're probably other things like pictures, photo albums, certificates, maybe even just memories in your mind that you continue to meditate on, to not let go away. Those pictures of what God has done. I want to share with you a couple of memorials that we have in our family. One of them is this little teddy bear. And he's wearing a little outfit. No, I don't sleep with this at night. But we do have it as a memorial. And it says on his shirt, Tempe Fire Department. Why in the world would some people in Gilbert, Arizona have a Tempe Fire Department, you know, bear? I never worked for the Tempe Fire Department, and I don't know if I have any friends that work there either. Well, here's what happened, is that Grant was very young. I don't know, maybe 2 years old. I'm getting the two from my wife over there. She's helping me. Thank you. Grant was 2 years old, and he was struggling with asthma very severely at that time in his life. Velvet was coming home from her parents' house in Phoenix. She was on the 101, I believe, or the 202, actually, just right around the Salt River area, right around where the 202 and the 101 come together. And she is in jam-packed, bumper-to-bumper traffic. It's rush hour time. And something happened, and Grant began to have a massive asthma attack. He's wheezing to the point finally where Velvet is noticing he's not really even breathing at all. She's panicking. She doesn't know what to do. She can't get anywhere on the highway because it's bumper to bumper and she's stuck in the middle of this lane. What do I do? What do I do? She cries out to God. Next thing you know, a police officer pulls up next to the car. Velvet hails him. Help. Calls the fire department, who's there in no time. I don't know how they get there, but they're able to get through that traffic. It's a miracle. It's God. Gets there. Does all that they need to do to get Grant breathing again. They rush him to the emergency room. And Grant lives today as a result. I mean, it was that bad. This is a memorial to remember that it doesn't matter how bad it gets. When we cry out to God, that he can show up out of nowhere and bring deliverance and bring newness of life and breathe back into our lives. We've had other times when things have gotten tough, when kids have stopped breathing. Faith even in others who have stopped breathing, where it's life and death type of situations. We remember God's goodness. He is able. Another memorial that we have is this big, heavy Noah's Ark boat. And we have this sitting out in our house to remind us of the calling that God had on our lives back in 2008 to go as a family to Ghana, Africa. This boat was made by a craftsman in Ghana. It's chiseled and worked out of a solid, really heavy piece of wood. It's a pretty amazing. And they have all of the other pieces, the little, you know, the Noah and his family and all the animals and everything that go with it too. It's quite astounding little piece of art here. But we have that out just to remember God's calling on us. Into ministry, into going after things, into going to hard places and difficult places, into just following him wherever he wants us to go. It's a memorial. It reminds us when God calls us to something else that's hard, that seems out of the box, that seems impossible. How are we going to pay for that? How are we going to do that? We remember that God goes before us. He's there with us and he'll never leave us. At Evident Life, we've kept praise reports and testimonies. In fact, you're going to see them in the prayer room. As that prayer room is going to be done in just a week or two. It's coming along. It's awesome, and we can't wait to get back in there. In the meantime, we're having our Wednesday night prayer and some other prayer meetings throughout the week, I think Friday and others, in the family room. But in our prayer room, if you remember it, and you will see it here shortly, we have framed testimonies, line after line after line of testimonies of how God has shown up and brought healing, restoration, just come and shown up and been faithful and powerful in people's lives. Those are memorials, remembering what God has done. We want to add to those. We're going to put in the lobby this week and next week some fairly large pictures, poster-type pictures, that are words that God has spoken over this church. deep, for instance, plant, going, how our higher praise is going to release the gifts and the fullness of the Spirit in this congregation. Things that we need to remember, things that we do not want to forget. And we're going to memorialize those and we're going to put them on the wall. So as we walk in the lobby, we remember what God has said, what He's spoken over us as a church family, so that we don't forget and we continue to move forward in it. Because we're very good at forgetting and we don't want to forget. The fourth and final reason of why memorials matter is because God is worthy of all praise. Why should we build memorials? Why should we have memorials? Whether it's just a picture or a picture album, or we go out and we construct something out of stone, whatever it is, to remember God's gifts. Why? Because God is worthy of all praise. Now, I just want to say this. If God calls you to have a memorial, even like this ark or this bear that we have right here, these are not idols. We don't worship these. We don't look to these and go, wow, that ark is awesome and it's glorious and all that. No, we look to this and we remember God's greatness. We look to this and we remember God's greatness. We don't pray to these things. We don't seek any kind of help from these. These are just there to remind us that God is great and greatly to be praised. And He's able to do far beyond whatever we could ever hope for or imagine. No matter what the situation is in our lives, God is bigger. His name is bigger than any disease that wants to come on any of our family members. His name is bigger than any curse that's spoken over us. He has good plans for us. No matter what our life looks like right now, He has good plans for us, and we can trust Him. That's why God calls His people to build memorials, to remember His greatness, to glorify Him. Verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you'd crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what He had done to the Red Sea when He dried it up before us until we crossed over it. He did this, verse 24. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Why is it important for us to remember? And why is it appropriate for us to have things that remind us of God? Because we need to remember that He's big. He's powerful. He's good. He's great. He's faithful. Memorials matter. They point us toward God and His greatness. As I conclude, I just want to ask us this question. What has the Lord done for us? What has God done for you? Where has God shown up in your life? How are you commemorating that? How are you remembering that? How are you ensuring that you will not forget that amazing thing that God has done for you? When was your last victory? When was the last time you saw God move and you were like, wow? How are you memorializing that? I encourage you to memorialize it. Make a journal entry at least, something. Remember. If you've got your iPhone, just get on it right away and make a note. Make sure it gets out on the iCloud so it populates all your other machines and everything too, so you don't forget. Remember. Put it on your calendar to remind you. You know, every month or so, this is what God's done. This is what He's done. Remember, remember, remember. In fact, that's just coming to me. What a great idea. I'm serious. That was from the Lord. That might be exactly what some of us need to hear. Let's put reminders in our calendar that are attached to notes of testimonies of how God showed up in our lives, how He's been powerful and good. And you know, it's a Thursday. It's 2:00 in the afternoon and you're just dragging and you're hurting and you feel beat up. And all of a sudden, ding, ding, ding. You look at your phone. And you read, yeah. Come on, let's use technology for the glory of God. Let's do it. I've got an assignment for you though this morning, right now. You're going to find those yellow sheets on the seat either next to you or maybe you sat right on top of it. Look underneath. We have yellow sheets of paper. It says memorials matter, remembering the goodness and greatness of God. That's the word testimony, and then it has lines. Those lines are there so that you can write a testimony, so that you can create a memorial even right there on that piece of paper. And as Jake is just lightly playing some music, I want you to get with God right now. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of God's goodness, of His greatness, of the things that He's done in your life over the past year or two even. Remember, what has God done? I want you to write down on those pieces of paper right now. If you can write, you can do this. Write down on those pieces of paper a testimony of God's goodness. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take those. If you want to put your name, please put your name. If you don't want to put your name, you do not have to put your name on it. If you just want to put your initials, put your initials. Whatever you put in that name area is what's going to be on the memorial that we are going to create out of these testimonies. We're going to take these testimonies and we're going to create a memorial. We're going to create something and we're going to display it so that we will remember and we will see and remember the goodness, the faithfulness, and the greatness of our wonderful, loving God. So take a minute or two and do that.